up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. We're in episode 103, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that helps us, it helps the podcast keep on going. With me every Sunday, typically, is Derek. So what's up, Derek?
Oh, not much and a whole lot.
Derek has just recently moved into a new house, so he's kind of in the middle of moving. So he's sitting down with his laptop on a hotspot so we can do the podcast.
About as shady as this gets. The good news is I do have a big cookie, and so I'm feeling pretty happy about that.
Yeah, I guess food makes you happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if we lose Derek, it's because his hotspot died or whatever it may be. So.
Yeah, yes. Blame Verizon.
All right, so blame Verizon for this podcast if it messes up. So we'll start out with our reviews for this week, and we have two really cool products. The first one is the Fantex Enthu Evolve Micro ATX Tempered Glass Case. So this, the original Enthu Evolve, which is the first Evolve case from Fantex, came out about 3 years ago. And they've recently redone almost, I believe, all of their Evolve cases with tempered glass. And then they also added RGB LEDs for, like, the power button and the small little strip on the front. So what you get is just, tempered glass just, I feel, makes any case better. I don't know if you would agree with me, but...
Yeah, I mean, I had this case. Not this version, but I did have the tempered glass version. I believe, like, this might be the third iteration of the Evolve.
Possibly.
And with the tempered glass, it was amazing.
Yeah, I think it just... I don't know. One, tempered glass is more heavy-duty, and it's less scratch-resistant than acrylic.
Yeah.
You can obviously see through it better as well, and it's just... It just makes everything so much better. And just on top of that, the Enthu Evolve is a great case. It's 3 years old. Basically, I mean, the internal design is 3 years old, and it still feels like a modern case. It's not outdated. Like, it's a really great design. The overall look of the case is one of my favorites. When they first came out with this case, I was like, wow, this is, like, sleek and sexy, and it's not overdone. It just has, like, all of the right things in all the right places.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it does have proper, you know, water cooling support if you wanted to do a water-cooled build in here, you know. It's just a good case, and adding the tempered glass panels, of course, everything is RGB now, so you do have the RGB LEDs on that front little LED strip as well as around the power button. And one thing that's cool about those is they offer connections, so you can actually connect them to an RGB header on your motherboard, so you know you can control them if you want with your motherboard software, which makes it a little bit better, I think, as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a great little case. Now, it is expensive. This is not a cheap case by any means. I believe it's $179. I think it is, yeah, $179.99, which is pretty high for a micro ATX case, I would say.
Kind of. It's not, it's micro ATX, but it's not exactly that form factor.
Like, correct.
Like, the, obviously the motherboard tray area is micro, but like this case is not miniature, right?
Correct.
You know what I mean? So it's a whole lot more case than that, but yeah, it is still, it's pretty pricey, but it's top end features.
Oh yeah, and it's, I mean, just the case itself, it's thick aluminum for the top and the front as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's coming in at a price, you know, it's all high quality materials in this type of case, and
mm-hmm.
It's one of the better looking micro ATX cases out there, I would say. And one really cool thing they did is, you know, I've reviewed a few different tempered glass cases, and most of them usually have, you know, a panel on one side, panel on the other. And sometimes you get mad because that back panel, it's like, oh, I really have to take, you know, time to organize all my cables. With this one, you didn't really have to do that. It's kind of like smoked on the rear panel.
Yeah.
And they made like a little cutout where it's clear where your hard drives go, so you can kind of display your SSDs. It's kind of cool. So I really did like that as well. So it's a nice little case, and you know, I like it. I think that this whole, you know, we've seen so many case manufacturers really do the tempered glass thing. You know, they come out with a case and then they've redone it. And I like it. I really can't, you know, I can't fault any case manufacturer for doing this because I just think it adds so much more, you know. I'm not sure why we...
It adds a lot of class to any case.
I'm not sure why we haven't seen it sooner. Maybe the demand wasn't there as much. I don't know.
It might have been a manufacturing thing.
Yeah, that too.
Where the technique wasn't quite there until recently.
Yeah, and I think now with PC gaming being as big as it is, people are going to spend a lot more money, I think.
Yeah.
On these certain things, and with, you know, people really wanting to show off their builds a lot more than I would say, like, say 5 years ago. You know, I think that more people are buying these type of high-end cases, so really cool. And they've done the tempered glass on, I think, all versions of the Evolve, I believe.
Yeah.
So they have a micro ATX, a mini ITX, and an ATX.
I had the ATX version, actually.
Yeah. Now, on the ATX version, I have a question, because this was one thing that was a little... I was a little disappointed, is, you know, most of these had, especially had that top pullout for the radiator. On your tempered glass version, did that pull out or not?
Yeah, it did.
Okay, so on this one, it didn't.
Yeah. The slide is really nice. It's, I don't know, you can work around it. It's obviously, it's just convenient to be able to mount your radiator outside the case and then slide it in. On the other hand, sometimes when you're doing a water cooling build, it's not possible to even use that feature. And so in a way, it just takes up extra space with the brackets and stuff. So it can be a trade-off.
Okay.
But yeah, for most part, I would say it's a convenience, especially if you're just doing an AIO. That especially is super convenient to just pull that slide out, install it outside the case, and then slide the whole thing in.
Yeah, so this version, instead of having that slide, you just pop off the top of the case and mount it in there. Which is very easy to do. It's not a hard process, but I do like the idea of having that, you know, section that you can just slide out, mount your stuff, and then slide back in. But
yeah, the pop off top is what. Well, I mean, that's like a, what is it, 2017? That's about a 10-year-old thing now, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of how it was back in the day. But, I mean, it works, right?
It's
just a little more basic. Maybe that was a concession they had to make because of the size. It does add, because of the bracket and the slides, it takes away space out of the top of the case with the bracket.
Yeah.
So, maybe they had a clearance problem with the motherboard.
Possibly, yeah. But in any case, this is a really great case. It's a high-end case. If you're doing... It seems like Micro ATX is not as popular, I would say, anymore.
You think?
I don't see a lot of people doing it.
It was like huge, like, what, just a year or two ago?
Well, I think the ITX... ITX was pretty big. And I think ITX is still really big because... You know, you can get away with a really high-end one, really high-end graphics card, you know. And if you're doing multiple, a lot of people do like to have the ATX, you know.
I like the Micro, though.
I do like the Micro. I think it's like it's the perfect size to build a really great PC. You can do two graphics cards. You know, you can build a super high-end system, small form factor, a smaller form factor. More manageable, and you know, with these type of cases too, the ITX, you don't have a whole lot of room for water cooling and things like that. Typically with these cases, you have much more, so
yeah, if you're not taking up so much space with the motherboard, you can use that for water cooling.
Yeah, exactly. So great case from Fantex. I highly recommend any of the Evolve cases. I would say they're all pretty much built the same, just different sizes, and they look great, and they're really, really well made. And obviously, if you want to go in the high-end route with the tempered glass, that is definitely the way to go. These like just look sexy on your desk. So we'll move on from there, and we'll move to a completely different product, which is the Lenovo Idea Center AIO Y910 gaming PC. And this is a completely full gaming PC, but it's not a gaming PC in your traditional sense. It's an all-in-one PC. And typically, when you hear all in one PC, you're like, oh, it's a word processing machine or it's a productivity machine. It's not really made to play games. But Lenovo was able to fit a, you know, desktop class processor, desktop class GPU, DDR4 memory, all that kind of stuff in what is essentially a 27-inch monitor. A little bit thicker than a normal monitor, but not something that's overly large, something that you can easily pick up with one hand and carry with you to a LAN party or whatever it may be. And it's you know, it's going to play every game that's out there. Inside you have a GeForce GTX 1080, an i7 6700, 256 gigabyte PCI Express SSD with a 1 terabyte normal hard drive in there. And the display's not that bad at all either. It's a 256 by 1440 QHD display, and it has that edgeless design, which is so popular these days. I just think Lenovo really hit the nail on the head with this. You know,
as far as features?
As far as features, and you want something, you know, if this was 1080p, I'd be like, ah, but, you know, most gamers are kind of above 1080p, I would say.
I think that you could do 1080p and people would, it would sell, but it's not an exciting piece.
Yeah. With this, you know, it's the QHD resolution, which is really, really good. And you have, this can play anything. I mean, GTX 1080 can play anything, more or less. It's at that resolution, it can play anything. So, and it's in a form factor that it's like a monitor. I can pick it up and take it with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It has everything. You have multiple USB 3.0 ports, USB 3.1. You have 802.11ac Wi-Fi plus Bluetooth. You know, you do have an Ethernet port as well for those who obviously don't trust Wi-Fi. You have the Ethernet ports. Single power connection on the stand, which eliminates a lot of wire mess. It's just really well made.
Yeah, that's actually something to consider. You know, with your tower and your monitor and your keyboard and everything, you got a lot of wires going on. This eliminates quite a bit of that.
Yeah, it does a lot of that. It even has a cool little stand that comes out from the monitor so you can hang your headset. This is like a, you know, it's a cool little feature. And this also has the Intel RealSense camera on it as well that kind of pops out of the top. So this is a really cool technology. If you've never seen Intel RealSense, it is a 3D, it 3D maps whatever you take a photo of. So you can use this to log into the PC. You can use it to make really cool 3D map pictures of your face, like whatever it may be. So that's another cool feature as well that this has. It's just, you know, it's just really well done, and it doesn't really get that hot. And when you are playing games, when the fan spins up for the GPU, it is a little loud, but it's not like, it doesn't sound like a jet engine. So they've done a really good job, I think.
Yeah, does it still perform?
Oh yeah, it performs just
without generating a ton of heat. That is a lot. I mean, you've got the monitor and, you know, all of the chassis components all within that one small space.
Yeah, it does its job, and it's not overly hot. The GPU, nothing throttles on this at all. You know, I was playing a ton of games on this, and it just performed, and it did a really good job. And it's like a nice looking display. And the whole thing is just really good looking. Like, they've really done a really good job on it. I was actually really impressed. And
serious question, though. As a real gamer, well, maybe former gamer, would you be caught dead using this?
Yeah.
I think for a LAN party.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I think for me, it's all about performance, right? And it's ease of use, too. I mean, if I'm going to a LAN party and I'm playing at 1440p anyways, and this thing has a GTX 1080 in it, my main PC is a GTX 1080 in it, but I gotta break down my PC. I have a ton of stuff connected to my PC right now. I have to, you know, disassemble, you know, the unplug everything, bring my full tower. I have a full tower. Bring my full tower plus my monitor, you know, and then everything else. When this, I can pick it up. All I have to bring is a power mouse and keyboard. You know what I mean? And I'm done.
Yeah. Everyone else is bringing their whole tower and everything, though.
I know.
You want to be the guy that's got the AIO?
It's a nice-looking AIO, man. It's and it performs really well.
Are we past the stigma?
Yeah, I think really at least at least question. In this iteration,
these were reserved for like the kitchen, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think that this a product like this will break the stigma because it performs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like anything. You see these, you know, you see a fighter come in who's not as big as the other guy, but he, you know, he takes him out or whatever. You know, whatever it may be. It's like this is a true gaming machine.
You think this is the future?
I wouldn't say because I think... one thing I do have to say is this is also like a PC that you can change out parts. You can replace the memory and the graphics card.
Can you?
Yeah.
Huh.
The back
so it's pulls got up. Like a ribbon cable, side mount, GPU, something like that?
The back comes out and there's just the GPU mount and you can just take it right out.
Okay.
And the memory is just like, you know, just like any memory you can pull
yeah.
out. Full-size memory. So, yeah, so it's like it's user upgradable, which is nice.
Yeah,
But I don't necessarily say this is where things are going. I think there always has been, and I believe there always will be a big market for PC users who want to build their own PC in a full tower. You know what I mean? Like, but this
just
is
for the uniqueness of it.
Yeah, and I just think for you feel good when you build something.
Of course.
You know what I mean? This is for somebody who wants to play games, who wants to have the performance, but doesn't want to deal with all that. And, you know, another thing, one really great feature about this that I didn't point out is that it does have HDMI in and HDMI out. HDMI in means I can connect something else to it. So say I'm in a small place, an office, a dorm room, somewhere where I don't have a whole lot of space, I can connect my console to this, I can connect my cable box to this, you know what I mean, and use that monitor for another device, which is really cool. HDMI out obviously means that I can connect my VR headset to this too.
Yeah, or go do a monitor.
Yeah, do another monitor or whatever it may be.
Does that have Thunderbolt 3?
It does not.
Oh, that would have been neat.
Yeah, that would have been really cool if it did have that. But, you know, I just think there is a great market for this. You know, not everybody wants to build their own PC. A lot of people like the convenience of being able to pick this up and take it somewhere. I think that's a huge, huge selling point.
No, I totally get that, because anytime you ever go to a LAN, it's such a pain with all your stuff. There's no easy way to carry everything.
And I think there's a, you know, even though this is marketed as a gaming PC, I mean, this is a high-performance PC that can be used for a lot of other things. So, you know, maybe in an office where you don't want a big tower on a desk, you could have something like this that does look good and gives you that really great performance that you would want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it would be a pretty decent Photoshop or anything Adobe machine, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know,
not high end desktop, but still a good machine.
Yeah, it's a really good machine. Like I said, there's really not much I can say bad about this. Really, really, you know, the only thing is, like I said, it does get slightly loud when you're really playing intensive games, mm-hmm. but obviously with the form factor, you're going to get that. I don't think there's any way around that, really. And if you have headphones on, you don't hear it anyways, right? So,
yeah.
Now, these start at $1,329, and that's with an i5, 12 gigabytes of memory, and an AMD mm-hmm. RX 460.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the one that we reviewed that they sent us had the i7 6700, 16 gigabytes of DDR4, GTX 1080, that was $2,200, or basically $2,300.
Yeah, which puts it pretty well within the range that you would expect, kind of in that high-end gaming notebook.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know, you have to realize that you have a really great monitor attached to this as well. This is not just the PC; this is your monitor as well.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. That's kind of why I would compare it more to a you know, a desktop replacement laptop.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So, because I really think that's probably more the user that this is gonna, you know, take sales from. Not so much the traditional PC gamer; it's the desktop replacement user. That, I mean, I think that in that situation, this is superior because you don't have to put your hands up on, you know, like a 3/4 inch thick keyboard and, you know, all the heat coming out of that with the motherboard straight below it. This has the advantage of separating that and putting it on the back of the monitor.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely does. Obviously, you don't get as much portability, but I mean, this thing,
yeah,
you can pick it up and
You can I don't think you places. Get much portability with a desktop replacement anyways, though.
That is true. So yeah, it's a great machine. Definitely check it out. It's the Idea Center AIO Y910 from Lenovo. Really great product. I was really blown away by it. Yeah.
I did not expect to have more than a 1.5 minute conversation about it. So
yeah, I good work, Lenovo. Yeah, I believe me when they said they were sending it to me, I was like, oh, I'll check it out. It's not going to be fun, but you know. Yeah. And then I got it, and I was like, this thing plays everything. Like, I want to play games on this. Yeah. You know, nice. And the fact that, again, the biggest thing for me is, you know, being that I've gone to so many LAN parties and I've lugged a lot of equipment to LAN parties over the years, you know, having something like this that is just as good as my desktop and I could just pick it up and take it there, it makes things so much easier. And, so
it is hard to showcase the custom build when you're just running the AIO, though.
True, very true. So that's where you kind of have to figure out, you know, what is more convenient for you and what you really want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So we will move on from that to one of our favorite, at least one of my favorite articles we do each month, which is 20 of the worst PC setups. So this is kind of where we scour the internet or get submissions of people who have really bad PC setups, whether they've been in Derek's situation where he's moving and you don't have a desk setup, or you're just a really disgusting human and you don't know how to clean, or you just got to make do with what you have, which is kind of, I think the biggest thing about a lot of these is that I like to see the ones where people kind of make do with what they have. Like, they don't have enough money for a new PC, so they kind of, like, take apart their laptop to make it work, or they, you know, use different parts. It's really kind of cool. So this is the worst PC setups for May, and I'm not sure if I have a favorite. This one guy, for some odd reason, has a PC on top of a microwave, which is...
strange.
Yeah, it's in their break room at his work, which is kind of odd.
That one doesn't do it for me because it's just this boring IBM box.
True.
I kind of like it's a full board, but just set up on the floor. Everything's just laid out. The whole PC is just laid out. I've been there. Usually just for testing. Not like living that way, just to test equipment.
Yeah, this one guy has two chairs. On one chair, he has his monitor sitting up. And then he has all these other things, like holding up his other components, which is kind of funny. You know, some of these are just hilarious. You know, as you go
a lot
through.
Of it is just making use of what you have.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes it interesting. So definitely check that article out. We do it once a month. And it's cool to see. I mean, sometimes you feel bad about your setup and you're like, oh, this couldn't get any worse. And then you look at some of these and you're like, hey, it could get a lot worse. It could get really bad. So,
yeah,
definitely check that out. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday, which is, of course, where we showcase a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have a really, really, really cool build called Chronomaster. And it's from Nessa, who we showcased his stuff before. Mm-hmm. And this one is done inside of a Cooler Master Case Pro 5. And the name of the build should give you some idea. Chronomaster is kind of like a... I guess you'd like timepiece kind of inspired build, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Chrono, I mean.
Yeah.
Base word of time. So.
Yeah. So basically, it is a really cool build. Lots of really cool water cooling, and I just like it. One of the coolest features actually is that the front is kind of clear, and he has these gears inside. And he has a video that we have linked in the article, and the gear actually moves. Those gears in the front of the case actually move when you turn the PC on.
Really?
Which is one of the coolest things. Yeah, if you check out the video on the page, you'll be able to see it.
I'll do that.
Yeah. Really, really cool. Great.
It's just really strong. It's a really strong thematic build. He carries the timepiece gears throughout it really, really well.
Yeah.
And not to mention, it is tons of really cool water cooling and lots of use of LCD panels and displays as well.
Yeah.
Which we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, I don't think. I think a lot of people think those are like, I don't know. I don't know.
They've moved away. That was like a mid 2010s kind of thing. I would say early 2010s kind of thing. But I always liked it. Depending on what you're using, so long as it's a good LCD for it or whatever, what have you. I think that they look good, especially when they're custom built into the rig in some way.
Yeah, I really like what he did too. He moved the motherboard tray to the he moved it to the opposite side. So mm-hmm. Traditionally your back side panel is actually the front side panel, which right. I kind of like as well. So it's just a really good build.
He used AlphaCool stuff.
Yeah, he used.
Don't see a lot of that.
Yeah, so really, really cool build. Definitely check it out. I like the colors. It's like white. Well, it's kind of white and silver with the kind of like a lighter blue coolant, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I think he might have a UV light in it, which gives a purple hue to parts of it as well.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, it's cool. The die cut gears are just everywhere in it, which just pulls everything together. And it's not just like throwing a few gears in here and there for theme. He's basically put them on everything. He's got a flow meter above the tube reservoir laid out in the front, and he's put a gear around the display of that. He put a gear around the CPU block. They're everywhere. It's a very strong theme build.
Yeah, I like it. Really, really cool. Yeah. And I was really, like I said, surprised at how the gears in the front of the PC move when it's on. That's just super cool to me.
Yeah. Are they? I'll have to check the video out when I get a chance.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I won't do that now.
Yeah, but very cool stuff. So definitely check it out. And as I always tell you guys, we have a full Case Mod Friday section, so you know you can get some inspiration. You can just check out a ton of cool builds. We have it linked right there, so you can go ahead and check all of that out. And that brings us to news, and we have a really interesting story to start out the news, and we can't say for sure, because Derek and I saw this at CES, and it wasn't done by NVIDIA, it was done by NVIDIA. Okay, because I was thinking
it was a totally different time, though.
It was a different time.
Different monitors.
But so, when we were at CES in January, NVIDIA showed us their new, or a monitor using their new HDR technology, and HDR, high dynamic range, is sort of the new thing that monitors are starting to have, and games have specific HDR profiles now and all this kind of stuff. And HDR, you know, brings out a lot of what's kind of washed out of mm-hmm. a lot of photos, and obviously your games and things like that. And that's kind of like the new selling point for a lot of these displays. And when we saw it next to an SDR monitor, and it looked great. We could see a lot more of the picture. It was, you know, more dynamic. It looked awesome, and Derek and I were both blown away. Now,
completely.
We don't know if the SDR monitor that we were shown, the settings were changed. We don't know. But at Computex, the guys at Hardware Canucks were being shown a similar demo. Two newer monitors, one that's SDR, one that's HDR, and they were really surprised at how bad the image looked on the SDR monitor. Like, it was leagues away of what it should look like, and they were really surprised. This was like around a $1,000 monitor. Why does a $1,000 monitor look really washed out and bad? So they were granted access to the settings, and it turns out that NVIDIA had changed the factory defaults for brightness, contrast, and even gamma on the display. So they made it look washed out, which obviously made the HDR image look better. And it's kind of shady.
It's extremely shady.
Yeah, it's very it's shady.
It's not comparing apples to apples anymore.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not giving the SDR monitor a fair shot. You know, being that it is an expensive monitor, you'd expect it to look great, and then they're showing you a brand new monitor with HDR that looks leagues better. You're like, why would I even get the other one? I mean, it's kind of,
I mean, I think it gives you the feeling that we had when we were at CES this year, which was that you've been missing out your entire life. You've been not seeing everything that's there. It was literally like you weren't playing the same game almost.
And
Yeah, so if true that they've been messing with settings this whole time, I mean, it's been a complete lie, and everything we've been using is fine.
Yeah. So the guys at Hardware Canucks, they made a video which we also have in our article, and they show you what it did look like, the SDR monitor, and then they showed it when they set the settings back to default, and it is a pretty big difference.
Yeah.
You know, and HDR is something that you can like or you don't like. It's just like,
yeah, it's artificially enhancing basically like the peaks, right? It's making the highs higher and the lows lower, you know, everything is more vivid.
Yeah,
it basically is. It's like, it's basically like turning on the vivid setting on a TV, kind of, you know. It's just peaking everything out, essentially. Yeah.
You know, and again, that's subjective. Like, some people may like it, some people don't.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the new thing. That's the new thing that a lot of these, you know, manufacturers of these displays are really, you know, pushing out there. So it is kind of shady. We obviously wanted to let you guys know about it. So, you know, I don't believe if you would go to the store, they'd be showing the same type of test. That's just not something that Best Buy does. You know,
no, you'd be lucky at Best Buy to find a calibrated monitor. So
yeah, but it's definitely, you know, if you see news about these displays or any type of display thing, you know, see if the research has been done, because, you know, while HDR does look great, I would say
it's,
you know,
much more expensive.
Yeah, it's much more expensive, and you are going to get a really great image out of an SDR display, no doubt.
Yeah,
you know, so it's just something to keep in mind. Still kind of shady. So
well, it's shady anytime a manufacturer tries to alter your impression.
Yeah.
Their product should speak for itself. They should sit you down and show you the product, and you should just, you know, form your opinion. They shouldn't, I mean, it's tough for them. I mean, they need the reviewers to like the product, to talk about it, to generate news, of course. But, like, at the end of the day, if the product isn't good, the customer needs to know.
Exactly.
And if it's not good and you're trying to portray it as good, you're just lying, and that, obviously, that's shady, so.
Yeah. So, it's kind of a big deal last week.
It was kind of disappointing to me because, I mean, I was on the hype train after CES, right?
Yeah, well, the thing is that we don't know if the one that we were shown was like that, wasn't like that, and we can't tell you. I think both displays look great, that we were shown.
Yeah, but the HDR was like,
yeah,
it was like ready to change my life.
Yeah, so,
you know.
You know, I think that because this is brought to light, you're going to see more fair tests when it is shown off. At least I would hope.
Well, now everyone's going to want to check NVIDIA settings. I'm wondering about the guy who let him check the settings. Is he currently employed with NVIDIA still?
Yeah, I know, right?
Probably not.
Yes, that's an interesting thing. So, but we move on from that to a very cool thing that's happening in the GPU markets, and it happened in 2013, and it's happening again, and there's been, we're covering three stories on this week because it's such a big thing, and it's really blowing up, and for PC enthusiasts, it is pretty cool. So, basically, there's a new cryptocurrency that, you know, a really interesting cryptocurrency that's going around right now called Ethereum, and, it was priced at $19 a share at the beginning of May, and it's, I think the last time I checked, it's like at $350 or it's like close to $350, which is a huge jump. You know, and when I wrote the article about a week ago, it was at $220, and so it's already, you know, another $100, $130 higher. So it's jumping up. And the big reason that this is so popular is that it's up and coming and the Chinese are using it. And apparently this is how the Chinese are getting their money out of the country. That's what I've read. So because of this, and it's ASIC-based cryptocurrency, which means you can mine it. Just like the early days of Bitcoin where you can mine Bitcoin, this is the exact same thing. So we know from previous mining and everything that we talked about in 2013 that the best graphics cards for this are AMD's Radeon series graphics cards. So there is none available that you can buy anywhere. They're pretty much sold out anywhere unless you want to buy them secondhand. You can buy them secondhand off any of the stores that offer secondhand, like Amazon does. Newegg does as well, where you can buy from other users and things like that. And they're selling at extremely high prices. You know, if you look on eBay, an RX 480, 8GB, is selling for around $400.
Which is absurd.
Yeah. Very, very high for cards.
Cards that last month were considered next to useless?
Yeah. So if you were somebody who had one of these cards, one, you could either start mining the cryptocurrency, which isn't terribly hard, or you could sell your cards and make some money.
Have you looked into this mining at all? This specific? Yeah. How does it compare to Bitcoin mining as far as energy cost versus
it's the same thing
that you're going to generate? It's the same kind of scale.
It all depends on the price of the current of the current price of the Ethereum, right?
Right.
You know, I forget how somebody was talking about it, was commenting on stuff we were posting on Facebook, but you know, with one RX 480, after cost, if you leave it on all day, you'll make like $14 a day or something.
That's not bad.
And that was at the current cost last week. Like, I don't know. You know, it's not bad. But there obviously,
with Bitcoin mining, there was diminishing returns though because of the energy consumption versus.
Yeah, so that's something you have to keep in mind because basically when you're mining, you're using these GPUs at 100% usage all day.
And you're talking about GPUs that are already not very energy efficient.
Yeah. So that's the thing, you know. And obviously, you're on your PC. Like, you know what I mean? It's. So that's something that I don't know a whole lot about. But, I mean, it's easily researchable and you can see what your cost would be.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a Reddit dedicated to it.
Yeah. This is just huge right now. It's, you know, it's so big that AMD's stock price is going up because of it.
Which is really funny.
Yeah, so because of the fact that AMD graphics cards are sold out everywhere, you literally cannot buy them.
That's if you would honestly, if you would have asked me last week, even like, hey, what's the chances I could buy an AMD graphics card? I'm like, well, they're gonna have a surplus because they're about to come out with a new series, so
yeah,
you can probably get one for about $1 in a week.
Yeah, so their stock price has gone up considerably over the past week or so.
How big of a jump was it?
It went up 9%.
Jeez.
You know. And they said people who have been shorting the stock, basically you're betting against it going down, their losses have been
betting
up
against
to,
it going up, right?
Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. The short sellers, yeah, they've been they lost $125 million on paper this year.
On paper for the year.
Which
is insane. Which it's still quite early for the year. They can still stick in for it, but
yeah. But this Ethereum thing is so big that people who are not PC people, just my friends who they've asked me about it multiple times because it's all over the news. It's like the new big thing. You know, at the price that it had started at, it was really easy to get into if you just wanted to invest in it as well.
Yeah, so you have a couple of them, right?
Yes.
And I'm really wondering, like, dude, what's your problem, man? Like, you were aware at the beginning and you didn't tell all of us? What's going
on? No, I didn't buy it at the beginning. I bought in as it was going up, and that's when I told you about it. Yeah.
Why didn't you say so, man? We still could have made money.
Well, I told you about it.
I don't think you like your friends.
I said, listen, this was $19. It's $220 today. It's going, and you're like, cool.
Oh, you bought it at $220?
I bought it at $186 or something.
Yeah. It's still pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's been going up, and a lot of people say it's going to go up to around 1,000. So that's a pretty big return.
Yes,
I mean, for the people who bought it at like 19, that's a huge return. Yeah. You know,
still,
and I know
it's still a really good return at 350.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who are throwing a lot of money at this right now. Okay. You know, but I was on Twitter. Mark Cuban said it's a bubble. And it's going to pop, so you never know.
I would have said the same thing about Bitcoin, though, and Bitcoin crested 2000 and is still climbing.
Yeah.
So,
you know.
There's a serious future in alternative currencies. The risk is which ones stick around, right?
So, it's which ones stick around. I think, I remember back in 2013, in 2014, the big heist where people lost millions of dollars because certain things were hacked. And,
yeah.
You know, that's another, I wouldn't say it's as big of a risk
because you can have your bank account hacked.
Yeah, true.
And that's quote, guaranteed money, right?
Yeah.
The big thing is there's no government behind these.
Yes.
So, yeah. It's like a corporation. It's like a company. I mean, it can fall apart at any time.
Yeah. So, but what's really cool is that a lot of people are building mining rigs again, which I think to see what people are doing and building these cool little rigs to mine, I think that's awesome.
Little rigs, man. These things turn into, like, contraptions.
Yeah. So because of that, also, it's been rumored that both NVIDIA and AMD are launching mining-oriented graphics cards. So the thing that sucks, if you're a gamer and you were looking in this price range, you know, a lot of people are using the 1060s and stuff like that to mine. There's another currency called Zcash, which if you mine it on an NVIDIA card, it's better.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of this stuff going around, but because of the surge and everybody wants these, for a gamer to go out and buy a graphics card, it's hard.
Yeah.
You
gotta buy high end or you don't, right?
Yeah, or it's just not available, or even if you're buying, like I said, you buy a third party like on eBay or something, you're paying way more for
triple.
Yeah, for what you're really gonna get when it comes to this type of graphics cards. So what both and to, I mean, not only to help the gamers out, but also to obviously fill their pockets with money. Both NVIDIA and AMD are working on special edition graphics cards to specifically made for mining. They're made for that type of use. NVIDIA, they said they're going to be working on GTX 1060, and AMD is working
What is it? It's the 106 GPU 106 100 GPU. Really, it won't really be a 1060, right?
I don't know what it's going to be called or what it will be or. You know, what they're going to call it. You know what I mean?
It's just using that die, though.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I guess...
I imagine it's pretty scaled back in, like, every way possible, other than the die and the necessary memory. I don't know what the... Do you know anything about memory requirements on mining? It's
probably pretty low. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not specifically sure.
Because most of the memory requirement is, like, preloading your next frame, right?
Correct.
So I would imagine that... You know, if it's you're storing strings of numbers and data, that it's probably not required to be real high. So this is probably a pretty profitable thing for NVIDIA and AMD to build these cards.
Yeah. Now these, at least on the NVIDIA side, the mining card will only have a 90-day warranty
because you're gonna burn it up.
Yeah. You know, if you think even if you're a hardcore gamer and you game a lot. Even games don't put all... I mean, sometimes they do, but most games don't put 100% load on your GPU. And if you're mining, you're mining 24/7, you have 100% load on that GPU at all times.
No mercy.
Yeah, and that's why we'll have that warranty. But it's cool to see this, because I don't think we've never had a specific mining graphics card.
No.
There
could be some really cool, like... coolers on these and stuff, because I imagine they get pretty hot too.
Yeah,
like a custom coolers. I'm picturing like workstation type cards, you know.
Yeah, well, we've seen it when the Bitcoin thing was big. We saw a lot of companies start that made custom Bitcoin mining machines. It was a box,
right.
You plug it in, and it was good to go. And it was based off different sets of hardware and things like that. So there's gonna as long as this still remains pretty big, it's going to be really interesting, I think.
I think that AMD is going to hit it good on all fronts with this, because cheap Ryzen CPUs are going to do a lot of work for this for a lot less money than Intel parts as well.
True.
Because if I remember correctly, even AMD Bulldozer parts were successful in this. mm-hmm. and they saved the user a lot of money.
Yeah, so I think it's I think it's just great for this for the PC industry.
It's good for clearing out old inventory, I'll tell you why.
Yeah, yeah. And like I think for me the coolest thing is we did that story a while ago, almost like 4 years, 4 or 5 years ago, about the people building, you know, crazy, I actually have it linked in one of these articles, crazy cryptocurrency mining machines, and mm-hmm. It's linked in the one of the articles, but it's just cool to see what people are doing to get this, you know, because essentially minus your cost of electricity and to run these things, and obviously your time, it's free money.
Sort of.
So it's really, really cool to see.
If you could run these off of like solar and you already had the panels running your house, you could really make some money, probably.
Yes.
I don't know how feasible that is. It sounds good to me in my head, but maybe it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
You know what I want to see, though, is I want to see, like, EK or BitsPower or somebody come out with, like, a custom GPU block configuration, like, multi-GPU, like, thing that just mounts up and cools a bunch of cards at once, like a whole little self-contained, kind of an AIO idea, you know?
That is a decent idea. Yeah. We'll see how popular it gets, because there was custom cases being made for GPU mining machines back then. There was all kinds of stuff being built and things like that. So, you know, you just have to see where it goes. We're in the early days of it, I would say. I would say, mm-hmm. you know, over the next year, it's already super popular right now, but I mean, it's going to be a kind of a thing, and it might die out like Bitcoin, and we'll have to see.
But, yeah. I mean,
at least the mining aspect of
it. Yeah, the mining aspect. Yeah. Just because they become what is it? The rate reduces, right?
Yes.
Over time.
Yeah.
And that's why Bitcoin mining isn't very lucrative at all anymore.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's the same type of thing. But we'll move on from that and talk about some CPUs. We talked about a little bit at the end of last week's podcast. But you know, Intel announced their Core i9 series with the i9-7980XE, the 18 core CPU. It's a super high end one. We at least won't see it till the closer to the end of the year. And this was revealed by Raja at Asus. I actually know him quite well, and he was responding to a question on the forums asking about the new CPU, and he said the 18 core CPUs are not scheduled until later this year. Obviously, he probably has that information because they work closely with Intel. And then there were reports that it might not come out till 2018. I would probably say closer towards the end of the year, maybe even a launch at CES in January. We're pretty sure that we will see the i9-7900X, which will be the 10 core 20 thread parts. And then the higher ones above that we won't probably see till later in the year.
Yeah. So we had a bit of a bait and switch, right? From, you know, the Computex announcement.
Yes.
You know, build the hype up. But I still think we're getting these parts way faster, way earlier than Intel ever, you know, thought that they would be releasing these. I bet that they thought these were 2 or 3 years out.
Yeah.
At least your 18 core. Like, they were nowhere even near moving to an 18 core.
Yeah, and I think that another thing, this brings us to our next story, is that, yeah, everything is moving so fast, and I think it's has a lot to do with, a good amount of it has to do with Ryzen and being able to compete on core count and thread count and things like that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, apparently, Intel will be releasing a 6-core mainstream part by September. So we're moving back from the high end down to the mainstream, which obviously is your Z170, Z270. And this will possibly be built for a new Z370 chipset. It just seems
hopefully.
Like we just got Z270 in January.
Yeah.
And this thing comes out in September. As a consumer, I'm kind of pissed off.
As it's a just, consumer, if you had just bought, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess you should have been pissed off the whole time, though. Because Intel has been holding out on a mainstream 6-core part since, like, Ivy Bridge.
True.
They should have released a 6-core like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, so, I mean, the mainstream parts, we have our Core i5s and our Core i7s. They've all been up to quad-core. Nothing higher than that, obviously. And this new part will be the new Core i7 mainstream flagship, which is also confusing, considering if you look at the high-end desktop, or, yeah, the...
Oh, yeah, this does further blur the lines there.
Yeah, everything is so blurred. But this apparently is going to be built for the Z370 chipset, which is not to be confused with the X370 chipset from AMD.
But which certainly will be confused.
Yes. You know,
this would be... I can't wait to see the complaints of the people that are buying the wrong motherboards.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Yeah.
The chip is going to be based on a refined 14-nanometer process and TDP of around 95 watts for the K-unlocked parts.
Which is pretty low.
Yeah. You know, for an unlocked chip, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think, yeah, just like you said, it's about time we've seen a 6-core part in the mainstream platform as the flagship. I think obviously with Ryzen 5 chips being 6-core, you know, and Ryzen 7, which is considered a mainstream part, is 8-core. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, and, I mean, if, core if, count isn't everything, but yeah, it's going to be something at a certain point here.
Yeah,
especially when so you've got, you know, mainstream 8-core parts out there. So developers are now going to have that super multi-threaded availability, right? And mm-hmm. if you're not, you know, if you're not presenting an option to your customer to you know, get these gains that are there to be had, people are going to start buying the other parts.
Yeah.
Like gaming right now isn't hugely advantageous with Ryzen. It's, you know, it's just the core count isn't that big of a deal. You know, it's not the big difference maker right now. But if everybody starts writing all of their games for this to be hugely multi-threaded and to take advantage of, you know, that parallel processing, it's, you're gonna want the cores, right?
Yeah.
So this could be next level for all of computing, I would say. And yeah, we're gonna owe that to AMD at this point.
I think they've just forced their hand. They forced Intel's hand to do it.
They forced Intel, and they've like, I think that they've jump started the whole market again.
Yeah, it's just like I said, it's just kind of upsetting for somebody who, say, they just build a brand new Z270 system, or they're maybe even they build one in you know, a couple in a month or something like that.
Yeah,
it's like it's just too soon, and it doesn't allow the platform to mature at all. You know, you get revisions.
They're never going to have that thing fully updated.
Yeah, like, you're not going to have... yeah, I don't like it.
It's poor value.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is just it's an accelerated... I mean, I don't think Intel would normally have done this at all.
I don't think it either. So it's going to be an interesting year, I would say, to say the least, for this stuff. But talking about CPUs, there's a rumor that AMD's 16-core 32-thread Threadripper CPU, which is the Threadripper 1998. This is not the X version, so it doesn't have the XFR feature. But it is 16-core 32 threads, rumored to cost $849.
Again, lots of value from AMD
on
the core count.
If you take this into consideration, right, the 10-core 20-thread i9-7900X is going to be $1,000. This is $150 less, that has six more cores and 12 more threads.
On there.
I don't know how. I can't see this as being true.
I don't see this as being hugely efficient cores. If this is the pricing, I see them making up for efficient processing, I guess, from the individual core with extra cores, which is kind of what AMD has done for a little while.
Yeah, well, to see. But if it is, I mean, that's going to kind of stick the knife in Intel a little bit.
A bit, but we had an 8-core bulldozer part that didn't do anything to 4-core Intel parts.
True, true.
Which Ryzen is not Bulldozer. I get that. Don't jump me for it.
Yeah. But... yeah, it's... I think... I can't see this as being true. I'm sorry.
Price-wise?
Price-wise, no. I just don't see it. I get aggressive pricing, and Ryzen was aggressive, but it wasn't this aggressive. This is aggressive.
it's like free performance.
Yeah. So we'll see. That's just the rumor that's going around. We'll have to see. We'll move away from that, and we'll move to system. We talked about the Lenovo system, and custom system builders. There's a good amount in the United States, right? Some of the bigger ones, CyberPower, iBuyPower, all this stuff. And for a lot of people, that's the route to go. They don't have the time, or they don't want to learn to build their own PC, and they just want somebody else to do it, and that's fine. We like that you're gaming on a PC, obviously. Yes. So NZXT announced, I just call it Build, it's called BLD, their BLD service, which is a service that will allow you to configure and buy your own custom PC from NZXT. And what's really interesting about this, it's all based around the games that you play. They've had NZXT Cam on I don't know how many systems, and they've taken the data that they've gathered from NZXT Cam and they put it into this BLD service so that you could select which game you want. Say, you play a certain game, you can select it, and it will tell you the FPS that you're going to get within 10% of the game. So if I'm playing a certain game, I can spec out a system that's specifically designed to play, that just the example here, they have Witcher 3. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to get over 60 FPS, and then I can, from there, I can configure it even more if I want to. So I think it's a really interesting way to set up a custom configuration to build a custom PC. I think it's a great way to do it because users will know, okay, I'm not going to guess. I can read reviews, but their system's different than mine. I don't know what I'm going to get with this card. This kind of gives you a really great idea for the specific game that you're playing.
Definitely. A couple of things, jumped to the forefront of my mind for this. Number one, when I read this, I laughed because I knew that NZXT was going to do something interesting with all this cam data that we've known that they've been logging. It's just funny that this is what they're doing with it. Smart, right?
Yeah.
Data mining is huge business, and this is, an example of that. Other than that, I think the coolest part of this is that aside from it's kind of a hit in price to use this program, call it a program. It's kind of expensive just to do it, but this could potentially save you some money because it allows you to continue to configure down to, the lowest level of gear that you need for, your minimum bar of performance. So it keeps you from wasting money on parts that you don't necessarily need.
Yeah, I do like that. I just like that center around games because a lot of people who are buying these type of PCs, they're doing it for the games, and they're not PC guys, right? They're not hardware enthusiasts. They're gamers. They don't care
how many points it scores in future merch.
Yeah, and they don't care. Some people, they don't even care what it looks like. You know what I mean? They want the performance, and this is a great way to gauge the type of performance you're going to get from this configured system. But
it guarantees that when you spend the money, it's going to run for you. Oh, another thing that's neat about this is that it takes away the variable that you yourself input when you build it yourself. Because when you're inexperienced or something happens, and it doesn't run as fast as it should. That happens.
Yes.
It really does. And that's unfortunate. This takes that variable out of it because it not only does it tell you what it's going to do, but then they give you a guarantee to return the PC if it doesn't perform within that 10%. So,
yeah, that's pretty awesome, I think. So as Derek said, there is a caveat to all of this, which is that there is a $350 charge for the use of the BLD configurator and the parts and labor, which that's kind of what you're going to get. I don't know if it's $350 for each, but for...
For each use?
For what?
Or is it three? Is it Is it 350 for each build, or no idea yeah. how that's going to work?
Yeah, 350 okay. for each build. But, you know, when you're buying a custom system somewhere else, you're going to pay a labor cost somewhere.
Yeah, it's probably a very similar... Maybe it's probably slightly higher,
you think? It might be lower, possibly. You think? I don't know.
I do think that they could come in higher because they actually... Dude, that data has a value.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. But one really cool thing about this compared to different gaming PC builders is that you get a 3-year parts and labor warranty. But
sweet.
If you upgrade your PC or swap out parts or do anything like that, your warranty still stays intact, which I like. Yeah. A lot of people, their first PC is one they get configured, you know, parents buy it, graduation present, whatever, right? But then they get into this whole PC thing, and they're like, I want to switch out this. I want to switch out that. Well, if I do it, I void my warranty on my whatever PC that my parents bought me. Yeah. Or, you know, it just comes to the fact that it's like, you know, if one of those PCs breaks, a lot of times they want you to send the whole PC back. When maybe it's like your SSD died or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This, I can just go to the store and buy an SSD. If that fixes it, I don't have to deal with that whole week. I don't have my PC or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I like that. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it lets you, you know, having the ability to upgrade within 3 years, which anybody that's ever been a consistent PC gamer, you're probably going to upgrade within 3 years.
Yeah, or like say you, NZXT has a ton of contests online or whatever. You yeah. win a contest that's a better graphics card. Oh, I can't use it because I can't put it on my PC because it voids my warranty. Like, yeah. you know. Yeah.
Seriously.
I know a lot of people would just void their warranty anyways, but this it's nice that you... You know,
it's nice that they're realistic, and again, it's the NZXT approach to PC building and PC gaming of understanding what it is to be a PC user, right?
Yeah,
and giving them what makes sense.
Yeah, so I like it. You know, I think it's cool. We have a link to the BLD website, which is a pretty cool URL. I forget what it's called. It's called letsbld.com, so that's pretty cool.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and then you can, you know, like I said, it's really easy to configure, really easy to do it, and it's cool. So definitely go ahead and check that out if you're in the market, and you know, and you can kind of compare it to maybe other services that are out there and see which one works best for you. But I think it's cool.
Yeah, so. Do you have to pay the $350 whether you're like just to get into the configurator?
No, I don't believe so. I wouldn't think. But like that would obviously, once you're down to paying for the system, that would be like the three, you know, parts and labor,
yeah.
whatever, you know, that type of thing. But no, not to just to use the configurator. I wouldn't assume you would have to do any of that.
Gotcha.
So also talking about cool stuff. G-Skill broke the DDR4 memory world record, running DDR4 at 5.5 gigahertz under liquid nitrogen.
It's a stupid fast.
Yeah, and that's run on the new X299 platform on the MSI's X299 Gaming Pro Carbon AC.
On Samsung DIMMs.
Yeah, of course. Really cool, though. I just love these. Just to being able to push things further and further and further.
Yeah. So 5.5 on memory is so fast.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking things are fast when I get memory to run at like, you know, 34, 35. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so really cool stuff. You know, I'm sure, as you know, again, once X299 comes out and things mature even more, we'll probably get up even higher, I think. So
nice.
So yeah, cool stuff there. One cool thing from Computex, which we didn't talk about last week, which I thought Derek might be interested in, so I decided to include it in our show notes, is that I can't say this company name. I always mess it up. Ryzen Tech. They unveiled a new AIO called the Orcus, and one is very flashy, so it has like super bright,
extremely flashy
RGB fans and everything. But the pump block has a like a rotating blade inside to show flow. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's pretty cool. It's just a flow meter built into the pump top. It's cool because a little acrylic display with I would assume an RGB LED back there. One thing to note about flow meters is that flow meters actually reduce your flow. So, I mean, it won't affect performance, but, you know, yeah. something to consider. It's cool. I am leery of anything that has too much flash.
That's true. Or features that take away from the main purpose of the units.
Yeah. I'm looking at this, and I see a fairly thin radiator with some unproven fans on an unknown pump, right?
Correct.
So, interesting. Cool to take a look at. Is it cooler than NZXT's new Krakens?
No.
No.
Those are my favorites AIO currently. But again, those have the flash.
And the
performance is...
The Krakens?
I mean, they're good performance, but they're not like custom loop performance.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But for AIO, I mean, they're top 5 to 10%, which they were, they were regular old AIOs before, like they worked on when it was just performance.
Yeah, so I think NZXT is one of these companies that have really kind of understood what the market has wanted, and not just in AIOs and a lot of the other products as well. And as mm-hmm. you said, build something that people want. And that their execution has been really good.
Basically flawless.
Yeah, so. But cool little AIO. Be interesting to see if we see more things like that. I know the Deep Cool kind of had like a cool little flashy thing. I forget what that was called.
Captain.
Yeah, the Captains had that. But our last piece of news for today is that FutureMark has released PC Mark 10. So this is, of course, the great overall PC benchmarking software. This is not 3D Mark. This is PC Mark. We use PC Mark in a lot of our reviews, motherboard reviews, etc. And they'll be offering three different versions: basic, advanced, and professional. Basic will be free of charge and be available for download June 22nd. Advanced will be $29.99 and it'll be available on Steam. I don't know how much the professional will be. It should be super high because it gives you like everything that you would want. But we have copies of it here to use for our own testing. So over the next couple of weeks, we'll let you know how well it does and the different tests. But it's a great overall. All of their tests are based on like real world applications and things like that to give you a really good idea of overall system performance. And like I said, because it's free and anybody can get their hands on it, you can run this test against your buddy's PC and say, oh, okay, mine's better. overall, mine's better, stuff like that. So,
plus, we just love seeing new benchmarks. It's fun.
Yeah, for sure. So, that brings us to what we have coming up next week. I didn't get to it this week, but I will definitely have it for you this upcoming week. Is Synology's RT2600 AC router. This is their second ever router, and it's pretty good. It's a good router, and one thing I love about Synology products is their management software. It's probably the best and easiest to use out there. It works really, really well.
Nice.
Yeah, so
it's been a really long time developing it. So
yes, a really, really long time developing the software that runs this thing. And I think the biggest thing when it comes to home networking is that, yes, you want the performance, but you want something that's easy to use. You don't want to have to be a network engineer to set up your home network. It's just...
Yeah, even network engineers don't want to be network engineers for their home network.
Yeah.
They just want to set it up and use it.
Exactly. So you
can do that stuff at work.
Yes. Also, I have a cool CPU cooler from Leppa. It is their Neo Illusion, and this is their RGB CPU cooler, single tower cooler, but we have some cool RGB lights. I actually have it in the system beside me. So I will have that for you. We'll see if...
I like Leppa products. I like the brand, actually.
Yeah, I do like it.
It's cool looking stuff.
It is a thin tower cooler, though.
It looks pretty small.
Yeah, so that's the only thing about this. But I won't give anything away. Definitely stay tuned for that upcoming review. And then finally, a new product will be launching this week from Cooler Master. I can't tell you what it is. I can give you some idea of what it might be. It's sitting in front of me, so that give you the best idea of what it is. But it will be coming out on Tuesday. And nice. It's something we've seen. It's something that they showed us, but it wasn't available, and now it's available. So that will be coming this week. So some cool stuff coming this week. And at the end of each podcast, we try to talk about different things that we've done. And Derek, move. That's pretty much all you've been doing, right?
Yeah, I mean, basically.
So you moved in.
What else to talk about? I might make like a video or something because I'm getting a lot of new cool tech stuff set up here. So.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you is the new house. Derek moved the new house. So,
yeah.
What tech related things are you doing or you have planned for the new house?
Well, I did just actually I got a Luma wireless router system, which I have wanted for a while. I got the three. Router, I guess it's a three router system. So all three floors will have their own router, mesh networking. So that's pretty cool. Looking forward to getting that set up. Other than that, I am going to have a dedicated room for my like testing and writing reviews and stuff, gaming room, photography studio, and I'm also building a home theater. So I'm really looking forward to that.
What is your? Are you going to do any kind of smart home stuff? I know a lot of people are into that.
You know, I haven't even thought that far yet. I don't know.
I'm not super into the smart home. Like, I don't have a Google speaker or an Alexa. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like not there yet. Like when I come home, like I can hit the lights myself.
I just don't. I think that I'm on the same page as you. I don't. Maybe it's because we're old. But
yeah, right.
Like. I can get over and switch the lights on, but you know, people probably thought the same thing when the remote came out for the TV. They're like, "Well, I can just get up and switch it on and change the channel."
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the only smart home thing I really do have is I have a Spot Cam, which is a fairly inexpensive home security camera that I can access from my smartphone, and you know, it instantly uploads everything that it's taking, so that if somebody would break into your home. If they smash the camera, it doesn't matter because the footage is already online, type deal. So
nice.
Well, that's exciting. I have been pretty much working all week. I'm trying to think what else. I did go wakeboarding yesterday, and I think I broke my toe, so that's fun. And
sweet.
it's completely like black and blue. Well, mostly black, but doesn't look that great. So. Doesn't really hurt, though.
Well, that's good.
I mean, it hurts, like, but it doesn't, like, I'm not in any type of crazy pain.
No constant pain?
No, so it's just, like, there. Good. I just, like, woke up today, and, like, I didn't even know how it even happened or what happened, or I don't know, I have no clue. But it's just not, the color is just disgusting. So. but that's about it.
But more importantly than all that, something's happening tonight. Right?
The Microsoft press conference?
No.
The Pens game. I totally forgot because I'm leaving. I'm leaving in like soon to go out and watch the game. So it is Game 6 Stanley Cup Final. Penguins, of course, just my home team, playing against the Predators in Nashville. Penguins are up 3-2. So if they win tonight, it is all over. And,
are you hoping they lose so that they can come back to Pittsburgh?
So last year we had the chance to win at home and we didn't. And this year I just want to win it because it's been more back and forth. Like we were super dominant in the last game, but if you know when we played there we lost pretty bad, so I just want to win. You know what I mean? It's and this playoff has been much longer than the previous than last year. Like we kind of cruised through last year. This time, you know, we went to game sevens and it was just it's been long and treacherous, so I just I would like to win so that because you know game seven, you know it goes to game seven, it is back home, but you never know what can happen, that type of thing. So so
because you could always lose at home, which would suck.
Yeah, that'd be horrible. So it's gonna be interesting. I'm going out for the game, and obviously the next podcast will let you guys know what happens, but I'm sure you'll know by then. But that wraps everything up for this week, guys. We thank you for listening, and as always we'll have our full show notes page that shows pretty much everything that we talked about with links, so you can go ahead and read through even more. So until next week, Catch you guys later.